WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Everyone, welcome to the Rack Extra right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are here, we are live, and we are talking NXT TakeOver Chicago. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Wait, I'm 2 hours early. What? What are we doing?
You're the one that called this little shindig.
It's 2 hours early. I'm not supposed to be talking. Where's Sub? Up here? No, this is the Rack Extra. We're talking NXT TakeOver because NXT TakeOver was amazing. You can interact with us live. We're here at WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, on the Twitters at WildTalkRadio, at LindWard, at RackRadioShow.
And we're also joined by the junior NXT correspondent.
The assistant NXT analyst. No days off. From thinking about all red everything, the intern Kane Kittens.
You made me so happy for a second, and you crushed my dreams like tonight.
So it's appropriate?
I hate you both. I hate you guys so much.
Hey, I told him not to do it.
She slightly told me not to. Not fully was behind saying no.
Fuck, why?
I didn't say no, I just said, you know, he might kill you.
See, she didn't say no.
Oh, I'm going to find a way to somehow, through the waves of the internet, punish you. Because we all know I'm not taking a day off to go to Philly to do it, but I will find a way to punish you.
Kinky. Anyway, Kane Kittens is here, TJ Omega sadly could not join us, pre-existing commitment and all. But, well, we have the junior analyst, I'm here, Roxy, we're all going to talk about the awesome show that was NXT TakeOver Chicago. And once again, NXT delivers in flipping a giant middle finger to the main roster because this was a hell of a show.
If the main event of Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton didn't have a lot to live up to, after tonight, it has a lot to live up to.
Everybody got shown up by a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old tonight. Everybody.
Do you want to start?
We're going to talk about it.
You want to start with that match?
Let's just start with that match because, yeah, this was match of the night. UK Championship, Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne. Holy crap.
Dear God, this match.
These boys came to play. Like, they just Mundo is like, no, we're not going to screw around. We're not going to, you know, be afraid or nervous. They weren't even though slightly concerned. They went out there and they stole the show. Legit stole the show. Nobody lived up to that match tonight.
How could you?
I mean, just the spots they were hitting. We saw the bitter end get somehow countered into a DDT. What?
Say what?
We saw a suplex leading onto the fucking apron.
Yeah.
And the 450 corkscrew. How can we forget the 450 corkscrew?
That was simply phenomenal. See what I did there? Everything about this match was great. Hard-hitting intensity. Fans were on their feet. When was the last time you really saw an entire arena get up on their feet?
No, it wasn't just an arena. It was Chicago.
Okay,
Chicago was on their feet for this. Twice.
It was a shame they weren't into it at all.
No.
They hated this one completely. I mean, they were loud, they were raucous, they were chanting. We got several This Is Awesomes, UK Championship. I mean, this was so, so good. Well, which we knew it would be.
Within the first 3 or 4 minutes, you had everyone in the arena chanting Bruiserweight, if that didn't tell you what was going to lead into this match.
Here's the thing. It was before they even started the match they were chanting Bruiserweight. That's how intense they were into this one. It's like, okay, this crowd knew who these people were. They studied their footage. They were ready. And they were here for a show, and oh man, they put on a show. The Exploder suplexes, like, everything in this matchup was just on point. Like, there was a spot where he does the running shooting star or whatever, and caught him into a triangle choke.
That was sick. Punching him in the triangle choke, so it makes it look even worse. But if you didn't think Tyler Bate was strong, watch this match and watch him deadlifting done.
He did it a couple times.
He did it a few times. It's the same thing as that Neville lift off the ground into the German, but it's so slow and deliberate that, God, he's deadlifting everything.
It's incredible how the strength they show.
And he's only 20.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like Tyler Bate's only, it, just at 20, is, and I'm going to use it, phenomenally good.
His future is going to be amazing.
He's only going to get better as he gets older, because the more experience he gains, and Dunn is nothing, absolutely nothing to sniff at. Dunn is right there as well, but it's like Tyler Bate tonight, holy crap. It's like, just please bring him over and put him on the main roster.
No, don't. You know why? Because he won't be this good.
I know he won't, but it's like, just, and part of this was, how good this was the chemistry between Dunn and Bate, because Dunn and Bate have trained together, they know each other, they live together, I think. You know, it's all there, where it's that great familiarity between the two, that you're going to get a really, really good match, because it's like, they know what each other is going to do, because they're tag team partners. So it's like, okay, we can take a risk and we can do more high intensity spots and that kind of thing to really pull off a match. But this was just like, it's like Dunn was the absolute perfect heel in this, and Bate was the perfect baby face. It was just like, wow.
And here's the thing. You need to get Pete Dunn with William Regal and let them sit together for a month.
Oh.
Pete Dunn will be the best heel we've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Let them grow that show. Let these two highlight that the UK show, and let whoever booked this match do the storylines for it. Oh, yeah. Forget 205 Live. Put that on the network and feature it.
Here's the thing. You know the audience that wants this type of wrestling. When 205 Live was really good, and it wasn't 205 Live, it was the Cruiserweight Classic, it was done in front of 400 people in Florida. So you had the built-in audience. There was no one on the main roster, like the main WWE universe, who was looking for Cruiserweights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's why it's not getting over. You put this stuff in front of an audience that cares, 205 Live would hold nothing to the UK show. The UK show would dominate it.
Well, what they need
to
do...
I think it did, didn't it?
Well, it does. It should. This is the quality, the crowd reactions. It's just so much better than what we see on 205 Live. And you just gotta let it be its own thing.
That's what I was gonna say. You need to turn 205. For both of these shows, you need to do the NXT route. Pre-tape some stuff for a little bit. And just turn them into their own shows where you can control that crowd. Build everything up. Get people involved with it. And then, after a little bit, then take it out.
You don't even need to take it out. It should be done in the UK for the UK show, because, yeah, it's UK.
Yes. Yes, very much.
Except if you want to bring them in for a takeover. That's fine. Because it's that hardcore audience. The main audience is not going to be this.
No.
No.
And that's where 205 lost everything. Because he put it on the main roster. So it's like, and it's what it is 205 Live tries to be WWE Lite. This is not WWE Lite. This is something completely different, which makes it so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were commenting last night about the UK special, because I was just sitting here watching it after I got home, and it's like, it's, and this isn't intended to be a shot. It's more you look at the more indie produced TV shows, and it's like, even with the setup that the UK Championship had, which is essentially a house show setup, it still had production values than better production values than most, if not all, of the more indie produced shows. But it had that look, it had that feel. They finally figured out the lighting, because they had a little bit of problem with the lighting, but just on the production side of it, it was still the best that I've seen.
Because it has that gritty feel to it, even though it's really well produced.
I mean, it's just, it's the UK, it's so unique, and it's like I told Rock tonight, it's like, the UK show is the perfect blend of wrestling and entertainment. It's like, a lot of people hate WWE because it's all entertainment, or it's not quote-unquote real wrestling. But it's like, shows like ROH and New Japan and a bunch of the other shows don't necessarily connect with the audience because there's more traditional wrestling and people aren't necessarily into traditional wrestling. UK, the way that they're doing it, is that really that perfect blend of both, where you're getting those really high quality wrestling matches because they have the talent level there that's really that good, but it's enough of a storyline driven show that it kind of appeals to everybody.
And what was really good about this match is, every time they hit a big move, they let it sink in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which just drove the point home how really good this match was.
This was just paced well. They gave it time, and they let it, like you said, sink in.
And here's the thing, they only had 15 minutes.
God, it felt so much more.
It felt like so much more.
But that's why it was such a good story, is because you wanted more of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, during this match, they chanted, go, like, fight forever.
I think what helped this is that they went for high-risk spots, but they didn't try to cram a bunch of stuff in. Like you said, when they hit a big new move, they let it sink in, but it's like they really started out, and they took their time, and they built the match, and they built it into this crescendo, where by the end, you know, we're getting the 450 splash, and we're getting the bitter end into the DDT, and all these crazy moves, where they really built to this frantic pace of Bate and Dunn scraping to win this match, because it's like, this has got to end. Somebody's got to win it. And it's like, you have Tyler desperately trying to cling on to the title, and you have Dunn desperately trying to get the title. And it was just this really nice spilled, and we keep saying story, and that's exactly what it was. We're just built to the finish of the match, which you don't see a lot of. But it's like, they didn't start out hot. They didn't start out with a bunch of crazy moves where it's like they're going at this fever pitch pace to try and ram everything in. They waited till the end to get to that pace.
The difference, again, going back to difference between cruiserweights and this. Cruiserweights do spots, just do spots. These spots have meaning. And that's what draws you in. These spots have meaning. And even Tyler Bates' version of the rebound lariat, where he like dives through the ropes and comes right back, is something to be seen.
Yeah. And just to go back to your point of Regal and Dunn, My Fair Peter, where William Regal takes Dunn under his wing and gives him the Henry Higgins treatment and teaches him manners and proper villainy.
You know, that's what needs to happen.
I mean, because it's like, Dunn is just this incredible heel. That sneer game is just...
on point.
On point. He just needs, like, a little bit of polish. Just a little... because it's like, you watch this... he did an interview, I think it was on the pre-show, where he was talking to one of the backstage interviewers, I forget her name, and he's like, you know, how dare you interrupt me? Why would you do this? You know, if I lose tonight, which I'm not gonna, I'm gonna dedicate it to you. he's just this, and I'm gonna say it, he's just an asshole. And it's, we don't have a lot of those in wrestling, especially in terms of NXT and how it's presented. So it's like, he's such that, he's such a refreshing heel because he's almost a pure heel. Very much in the vein of Owens, but different than Owens.
Right.
It's like Owens is very much that sarcastic jerk who, you know, is egotistical as hell, doesn't really care, but cares. Dunn can't be bothered.
That's a great way to put it. He just cannot be screwed with to worry about anything.
Like, he gives no fucks. No yep. fucks are given by Pete Dunne at all. It's like, whatever, I'm going to show up, I'm going to beat the crap out of you, I'm going to take your title, and then I'm going to go leave and have some nice food or something.
Oh, come on, admit it. He's going back for a nice pint or a whiskey. He's not going back for the food.
I don't know if he drinks. I think he drinks, maybe? I know Seven does. I don't know if Tyler's technically not old enough to drink here, so he can't, but I don't know if Pete Dunne drinks, but yeah, I mean, if he does, yeah, he's going back for the alcohol, absolutely, but yeah, this match, just, I need more of this in my life, so if we could make that a possibility, that would be epic, but yeah, final thoughts on the match, because we should probably move on.
I know you brought it up when we were talking, but Tyler, you need to go see a certain Swiss superstar for those uppercuts.
Yes.
You need to learn how to throw those. Pete, that forearm that you landed on him was wicked.
Yeah.
You could hear that in every corner of the arena when he smacked him with that forearm out of nowhere.
Yeah, when he was coming off the top rope and Dunn's like, yep, hi, bam.
God.
Yeah, everything was great about this match.
Dude, I kind of almost wish this had been the main event.
But you had to have a hot opener for tonight, and
it wasn't
the way it ended was a certain way, too.
This wasn't the opener, though.
No, you're right.
This was the second match.
But because I have them up, our picks for the match.
Yeah, go through them.
Omega, who went with his boy Tyler Bate, which was his initial UK pick. The rest of us, including the 8-ball, went done. So right now, Omega is 0-1.
Hey!
NXT correspondent, y'all.
Analyst. Analyst, not correspondent, analyst.
Analyst, I'm sorry.
Even though we keep changing it every time. But yeah.
we change his title. It's in flux. Anyway, moving on from this, I say we start with the opening contest of the evening, and we talk about Roderick Strong versus Eric Young.
Conveniently got his match first so we can go watch the hockey game.
Which the Preds won. I think they're going to the Stanley Cup now.
No, it's not over yet.
Oh, it's not over yet? God damn it! When is it over?
Series is not over yet.
Rock, we all know why this match was first. I don't know if NXT has told you yet, Roderick Strong is a new father.
Wait, what?
He is?
Yeah, it surprised me for this match, too. Roderick is a new dad, so apparently he had to go home and take care of the kiddo, hence why it was first.
They're in Chicago. That's a long way to go home.
The kid could come with, I don't know.
Yeah, this was a match. This was a good match. You had Eric Young come out with his boys.
You can say his family.
No, it's not his family. They're not family. Although I have affectionately renamed Killian Dane the Irish Wookiee. Because he was fluffy!
He was. So, the one cool thing to start the thing was Roderick Strong, they're looking at the entrance, looking at the blinding blue entrance. And he's like, where's Roderick Strong? Where's Roderick Strong?
He blended in.
No, he didn't blend in. You know why? He came up behind and attacked Killian Dane and what's the other dude's name?
Alexander Wolf.
And Alexander Wolf. He took them out right away, so it would be a fair fight. And
numbers
games. He was smart. And then they really had a really good match. The best Eric Young match I think I've seen in 3-4 years.
Yeah. I mean, they have really good chemistry together. And Roderick, I think, is one of those people that can just generally work with anybody. And it's going to be a good match.
They did a nice use of Wolf. They did a nice use of Dane. They had their moments, but it was mainly Eric Young. It was mainly Roderick Strong tearing the house down. There was a spot where he knocked him off the top rope, and Eric Young fell onto Dane and Wolf on the outside. I thought that was a really creative spot. Eric Young hits a pretty sweet elbow drop.
Still got it.
He still has it. I mean, these two really had a really good match. It was very nice to see. And again, you expect nothing less from these two guys because they're two great wrestlers, and I think this is the first time since coming to NXT where Eric Young sort of got that chance to just shine on his own.
Yeah, because they don't let Eric Young wrestle a lot in NXT. Well, I think it's really only been a handful of times.
By himself.
By himself, yeah. He's been in tag matches, but it's like in terms of singles. He really doesn't ever wrestle singles. So, I mean, this was a good match. I liked how Dane and Wolf had a presence in it, but it wasn't all about them. And that's, I mean, that's always the one thing I don't like when they do group matches, or they do matches with groups involved, where it's suddenly all about the group. This stayed focused on Young and Strong, like it should have. Where it's like, yeah, Wolf and Dane are there, they're a threat, they got involved a couple times, you know, the ref wasn't paying attention, yada yada yada. But in the end, it was like, it was about Strong and Young, which was good.
Oh yeah. Without question, it was really good. And we found out why Roderick Strong is really good at the backbreaker. I think his name was, what, the Messiah of the backbreaker at one point in his career?
Jesus.
That backbreaker he hit tonight to end it, whew, the suplex and the double knee backbreaker.
Yeah, that release suplex into almost the code breaker. Yeah, that was vicious.
It was a little awkward, but it was really, really sick.
He calls that the end of the heartache. That's a pretty good name of it for it.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do. It's a really good, really good finish. And then he quickly bailed out of there so that Dane and Wolf couldn't get to him. So the feud will probably continue, but this was a good opener. It was a solid start to the show. I'll say that.
It set a nice tone and a nice pace for the show. But then the next match, which was, obviously bait and done, blew the roof off the show.
It did.
Slightly.
Alright, so junior NXT analyst, assistant to the NXT analyst. What were the picks?
I'm his assistant now?
No, you're the assistant to the NXT analyst, yeah. Or you could be the assistant to the assistant. Because you are Dwight Schrute, after all.
Okay, so Roderick Strong versus Eric Young. Omega went Young. Rock, you and I and the 8-Ball also went Young. So that means there was one person who picked Roderick Strong.
All right, up to next, the women's match.
I get my moment. I get my moment. You all laughed at me. You all said I was wrong.
Hey, no. Let's go back to what we were talking about during that day. We all thought that Strong was going to get an upper hand in the overall feud. But what we also thought was that this is a more than one match for TakeOver feud.
Yes, but I still picked it right. So suck it.
Not telling you your record, then.
Anyway, what's next, Lindsay?
Next, the ladies of NXT, Asuka, Nikki Cross, and Ruby Riott had the very unfortunate duty of following Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. So this was for the NXT Women's Championship. This was a good match. Like, every match on the show was good. You know, baseline, it was good. This, I felt, was, like, just a little bit weaker than the others because they didn't quite have the chemistry together that the other matches had. And I think just because it's, Asuka and Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott haven't worked together a lot, so they don't have that familiarity, or it's, there isn't an experience level with all three women where it's like they can just walk in and work with anybody. Because it's like, I love Ruby Riott, I love Nikki Cross, but I feel like they're not on Asuka's level.
No. Asuka's way up here. Here's hand motions that no one can see. All the way up here. And they're somewhere down at the bottom in the middle in terms of experience. And that's fine. Because again, NXT is the developmental brand. You're trying to build a new crop of women's wrestlers. Asuka's just really, really good. That said, when you boil it down to one-on-one situations, the match was good. When he had all three involved, it sort of got a little clunky, but that's to be expected. But they had a few nice spots that really worked in this match. So, overall, it was a solid match. It just had the unfortunate task of being in, being after the big-time match for the UK title. That was the biggest fall in this one.
I will say this now, just because they made her look really good in the package, I feel like Nikki Cross is going to be a star.
Yes.
Just from the way that they put her in the package to the way that she's doing the character, I really feel like Nikki Cross is going to break out from Sanity, which she's already starting to do because they've got her on her own, and she's going to be a star. And I'm 100% fine with that because I really actually kind of want to marry that nutty little Scottish fruitcake. So,
get in line.
I had her first.
No.
Becky. You have Becky, sir.
Okay, now I actually do have Becky. Thank you. But what I was going to say is you had Alexa first. I'll give you that. But no, give me that UK duo right there. Done. Fine. Perfect.
We'll share Nikki.
Okay.
You get me Trent. We'll share Nikki.
You can have Trent. We will share Nikki. Fine. You heard it here first, folks.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, I just, in watching this, watching her overall, I feel like Nikki Cross is going to break out and be a star. She has that potential for just the unique way that she's doing this, because she stands out. Even though nothing that she's doing is really meant to stand out, it's just her personality comes through in a really, really crisp and clear way, and she stands out.
Could be.
So it's like, I feel like if they could build her into more of a credible threat, which I think they're trying to do, she could really be something.
It's hard to do because, personal fact, there isn't a lot of women that she can actually run through right now, which you actually have to really build up the babyface side to be really credible. You have to get Liv Morgan on track, you have to get Aaliyah on track, and so on and so forth. But if you're able to do that, you're able to then allow Nikki Cross to really get going, because let's be real, she hasn't won anything major yet. She hasn't got momentum behind her, but as a character, she's starting to break out from Sanity, which is good, even though she needs to be part of Sanity for it to work, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, but it's something of they're not with her when she comes out for her matches. She's not with them anymore, really, when they're coming out for theirs. I mean, it's like, you still have that link. It's kind of like when they did the Wyatts, where it's like, before the family permanently split the first time, you know, Bray and Luke and Eric were all together. They were all part of the family, but they didn't necessarily come out together. This is a similar thing with Sanity. Sanity has no reason to be there during a women's match. And aside from getting involved in Eric or, you know, any of the guys' matches, Nikki really doesn't serve a purpose being out there. But kind of going back to a feud for her, I feel like Nikki and Ruby could be something if they did it right. Because Ruby really kind of is the perfect foil for Nikki in terms of a baby face. Because it's like, she's not Bailey.
No.
I feel like someone like Bailey would not be good for Nikki. Nikki needs someone who's like Ruby, who's grungy, who's different, who's, you know, just an all-around really good person, a really fun person to be around, but she's not that traditional female wrestler.
Yeah, I understand the storyline and the physicality between those two match up well, but I don't know. Especially after watching tonight, Ruby needs work.
Yeah.
She can sell. She can absolutely sell. But man, sometimes when she throws her moves, they just look off.
Yeah, and again,
there was a couple of times like a suplex or just some of the timing where she was getting ready to do that dive through the rope, and she's coming off the rope, and you can see her kind of eyeing and trying to time it with Nikki. And it's like, you could just tell that spot was one of those where it should have just been, she goes trying to run, and Nikki comes out of nowhere and blasts her.
Yeah, and that's an experience thing, and she'll get that as she grows more experienced.
On the plus side, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, on the plus side, the crowd was behind Riot tonight.
Yes.
Which means heel Asuka is sort of working. Sort of, kind of. Oh, not really.
I don't know. Asuka had the crowd with her, too.
Asuka's, like, just that enigma. Like, again, we said it on Thursday. Just stop trying to turn her heel, because it's not going to work. She's Asuka. It's like Shinsuke. I don't think they could ever turn Shinsuke heel if they tried, because he's just that over. So
unless you turn him on Balor.
Unless you turn him on Balor, but even then, I don't know if you could necessarily get him all the way healed. So it's like, for Asuka, it's just, she's this enigma, she's Asuka. That is the only way you can describe her, is she is Asuka. So it's like, just stop trying.
Yeah.
Just let her be her.
Yeah. Speaking of Asuka, here she was tonight.
Asuka, another dominating performance by you here at NXT TakeOver Chicago, and I know we ask you this all the time, but what's next for Asuka?
Did you see that? Nobody can stand toe-to-toe with me. It's mine!
There you go.
Just wait for Ember, honey. Just wait for Ember.
And the fact that she pinned both girls at the same time, that's cockiness.
Yeah. Yep.
Very much so. What's next on our docket? Oh, before we do that, NXT analysts in training. What are the picks?
Okay, so the Magic 8-Ball had Ruby Riot. Never trust a toy. Everyone else went with Asuka.
And we all made Tim happy because he got points.
Don't remind me.
All right, Lindsay, what's next?
Up next, we have, in a flip-flop of the evening, because we're going to save it for last, the NXT Championship match between Hideo Itami and Bobby Roode.
Okay. One, I don't want to say this, but I have to. Hideo Itami looked really, really just like a dude tonight when coming out.
Yeah, he looked like the Player 2 model from WK or WWE K 17.
WWE 2K 17.
Thank you.
There you go. It just was one of those things where he didn't have any fancy robe, fancy t-shirt. He just wore black shorts with gold on them, and he just looked like a dude. And I don't want to say that's bad, but it doesn't help. When you look at the wrestling roster who's coming out all of this grandiose and have all these like big glaring entrances and you just walk out like a dude, doesn't do a lot for your stock. In the ring, he was great, but just by the sheer look, he looked like a dude. I hate saying that.
So, this is where I wonder how long Hideo's going to stay. Because he's been out, he's been down there for 2 years, he's been a developmental, he's been hurt for most of those 2 years. How long is his contract for?
I don't know.
Because it might be something he, and I hate to say this, because I don't think he's going to do it, but he may just, you know, be like, screw it, I'm going to go back to Japan.
But since he was out a year, let's go, we'll use the Rey Mysterio role in this one, that time carries over.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's the case, but it's like that could be one theory, is it's like, okay, well, screw it, I'm not going to do anything, I may just be leaving anyway, so I'm not going to get any gear made. That could be why he walked out like that. Or he didn't bring anything with him, or maybe his suitcase got lost, we don't know.
I don't know, it just seemed weird. When you compare everything else, it just seemed weird.
Especially with who he's going up against.
Oh, and then there was Bobby Roode, Lindsay. Bobby Roode.
Bobby, honey, you are so extra, it's not funny. And that could, again, that's probably why Hideo just walked out like he did, because he's like, nobody's going to top that. Nobody. I mean, it's like between the glittery robe, the animated piano, which whoever did that, give that person a raise, to the smoke, to the turntable, to just the overall epicness that is Bobby's entrance. There ain't nobody going to top that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bobby, honey, lay off the spray tan.
he was off
of it. You made Hideo look pale, dude. Lay off the spray tan, okay? You looked like a bedazzled Oompa Loompa.
He was orange. He was all kinds of orange.
He was completely orange.
It wasn't to the level of Randy Orton WrestleMania a few years ago against Kane, but it was getting up there.
It was pretty much Canadian Dreamsicle.
She's not wrong in that manner.
Canadian Twinkie.
Not even Twinkie. No, Dreamsicle. That bitch was orange. Robe was epic, but yeah, it's like he took that robe off and it's like, whoa. Like, dude, you need to lay off that stuff. It's bad for you.
Very bad for you. But we did get a GTS in this match.
Yep, it happened. The whole match built to Hideo hitting that GTS.
God damn that spot.
In
Why
Chicago.
Didn't they keep it going? I almost had the ending of the match. Damn it.
You were so close. Yes.
I was. I saw Roode go out of the ring, like flop, go out of the ring, and I thought, holy shit, this is happening. And then when Hideo rolled him back in, I went, no, what the hell are you doing?
He's rolling him back in the ring to do it again.
Yeah. The one thing I do like about this match was that they sold the injuries well.
Yes.
You had Roode go into the pole and hurt the arm. So then when he tried to do the glorious DDT, as soon as he lifted, boom, he drops him and grabs that arm. And then Hideo, special little snowflake he is, went for the running drop kick on the outside and went straight into the ring post. But that sold his leg injury trying to pick Bobby up for the GTS.
What scared me, and what I loved and scared the crap out of me, I should say, was there's a moment where they're on the outside where I forget what move they hit, but it's like, yeah, Bobby hit his shoulder and Hideo hit his knee and they're both on the ground writhing in pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Writhing in pain, and the ref's talking to Bobby, and Bobby's talking to the ref, and he's pointing at his shoulder. And you just sit here for a minute, and you're like, oh, crap, please tell me that's selling.
Oh, God, I made a house call.
Yeah, you're really kind of worried. It's like, is it really, really good selling? Or is it legit?
Yeah.
In wrestling, you never know.
Yeah, that spot did kind of scare you, but then when they both kind of got up and you could see Hideo moving a bit and you could see Bobby, you know, working with his arm, you're kind of like, okay, it doesn't seem as bad anymore.
But yeah, it's like,
in the moment, you're going, oh God, oh God.
Well, it's like, especially for Hideo, right? Because Hideo's been hurt twice. Like I said, he's been out more than he's been here. So it's like, anytime something happens to Hideo, you're like, oh God, not again. No, he can't go away again for like 8 months. This dude is like perpetually injured and is going to be stuck down in NXT for forever.
Yeah.
Like, he's never going to get out of NXT.
Yeah, it's like we talked about on Thursday when you were questioning, is he really injury prone? When that spot hit, that thought crept into your mind of, oh God, maybe he is. Maybe this, you know, there's something to this. But it just turned out, at least visually, I mean, we could get reports here in about 20, 30 minutes. I haven't checked anything yet. But for all intents and purposes, it did look like it was just good selling between two really good professionals.
And that's really what it was. It was really good selling.
Yeah.
But they had a really good match. And Bobby Roode hit two glorious bombs to retain his championship.
That was nice. When he hits the first, rolls over him in one motion, picks him right back up, and drops him again. Because at least it makes Hideo look strong, the fact that it took two straight glorious bombs to put him down.
Like, I thought you needed some sort of hook of the tights or anything to sort of get him out of it, but then it's like, he made it clear. This is a win.
Mm-hmm.
It was emphatic.
Which, if he's going to be the face of the brand, it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Really needed to be.
This was really good. I don't think they ever really hit fourth gear, but they didn't need to.
They didn't need to. They told their story.
And so, this could be, with the way that this was, this could go on to another match, maybe with some kind of stip or like an Iron Man or something, where this could carry on.
Maybe.
Well, like we said on Thursday, who's the next person in line? Is it going to be Cassius? Is it going to be...
They already did Cassius, so probably Drew. I'm thinking Drew.
Oh, since it's on my TV right now, going back to the UK Championship real quick, the ovation for JR.
Oh, yeah. Jim Ross.
That was nice.
Took him a few minutes to wake up, but he got into it.
Yeah.
But he got a huge ovation.
He was still on the UK time.
Awful, by the way. You gotta work on your green screen, WWE. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. There's one awful green screen shot. The second one was better, but the first one where it looks like you're just standing on people, yeah. Maybe want to fix that.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I do have to say about when JR did come out, I liked that the camera kind of stayed with the group and you saw Phillips and Percy, you know, kind of walk off. Like, mm-hmm. This is going to be just the two of them.
Yes. Like, they get a break for this match. Because it's going to be JR and McGinnis, and they had nice chemistry together.
Yes, they did.
They did. They did. Which, well.
If you haven't watched the UK special, go watch the UK special.
All right, so assistant to the assistant to the assistant of the analyst.
My title keeps changing. So, to be fair, a lot of us thought shenanigans were going to be involved when we made these picks. We didn't think it was going to be just straight up. Everyone but Rock picked Hideo Itami.
What was
Rock
that? Picked.
No, okay, so moving on. Lindsay, what's the next match?
What was that? No, hold
he
on.
He gets his moment.
What was that one?
He gets his moment.
Everyone but Rock picked Itami. Rock picked Roode. To be fair, a lot of us thought Roode was going to retain anyway, but Rock, you may have your moment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I know what I'm doing.
Do you feel better?
I do.
Okay. Moving on to the main event of the evening. We have the Authors of Pain defending their titles against DIY in a ladder match. And we're all sitting here and it's like, wait, this is the main event? They're making the tag titles the main event? What? And it's like Rock and I were sitting here talking. It's like, so does that mean DIY's gonna win?
That's what we thought.
That makes the only sense that, you know, it's like, oh, hey, DIY is going to win this match because it's the main event.
In Chicago.
So this was a really good match. There's some negatives when you get Authors of Pain in total control and they're very slow and plotting, but that's the Authors of Pain.
Please never put the Authors of Pain in a ladder match ever again.
We will say this, number one positive, they have name tags now.
They do!
We can tell them apart!
No, you still really can unless you zoom in on their name tags, but hey, they have name tags.
They have name tags. I got really excited for the name tags.
Number two, they had a really huge letter.
Yeah, they did.
Number three, we broke some letters. Like
points.
Like three of them.
Points.
No points.
You don't get points for breaking a ladder?
If they're using them like a table, they should be counted.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what he tells me. No.
They're not announced.
People are laying on them, and they're propped up in corners, just like a table. They should count as a table. They're made out of wood. They count.
But they're not announce tables. You only get points for announce tables. God. Just saying.
Yeah, and that contingency also sucks tonight, too. But we'll get to it later.
We'll get to that.
You got screwed.
I got fucking screwed so much in this match.
Yeah, you know. So they did a double splash off the big ladder onto both members of Authors of Pain on who were laid out on two different ladders, which is really sick spot. What was it, like a back suplex onto another ladder, off the ladder in the ring?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, Tommaso Ciampa with the belly-to-back suplex through that ladder in the corner.
Which is...
God, that looked brutal.
Split right in half. That metal sure looked like wood.
Mysteriously broke like it, too.
Mysteriously broke like it, too. Splinters everywhere. Hey, Lindsay, need some wood chips?
No, I'm good on those, thanks.
This was a really good fight. Really good match. And it's like, okay, the authors, they did their running knee super kick combo to one of the Authors of Pain with the his head trapped in the ladder. Okay, here it is. It's a cool spot. We're done. They're dead. They climb up, and then the Authors of Pain get up. They do the powerbomb spot where they smash them into each other and then drive them down the super collider.
Yep.
And then they grab the belts.
Wait. You missed the one spot where they tried to kill Tommaso and basically killed Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny throws himself in front of the ladder, in front of Tommaso, and takes it for him.
Oh, the uppercut spot. Yeah, the uppercut spot.
They went Aleister Black with the ladder on Tommaso. Johnny, being the good brother that he is, jumps in front, and they basically kill him. They decapitate his ass with a ladder.
Then, one other spot. They super kick Paul Ellering.
Yes!
Props to Ellering for taking that.
He took the one bump and was down the entire time. He was not getting back up to his feet.
Well, he was wearing leather pants. Do you honestly expect he could get up?
Point.
I mean, you know, once he was down, that was it. He was down.
Yeah. So we do the super collider spot. The ascension. The Authors of Pain. Because I'm reading a thing, it said ascend. So I thought, oh, ascension, right. No, authors grab the belt. And they retain the title. So it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, that happened. The Authors of Pain retain. The intern goes, aw.
I go,
yeah, we're all... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I go, aw, I didn't get the titles. Because when I saw Tommaso walk out, I was like, okay, this is a thing. They're actually going to fight. Because I remember on Tuesday, we were like, what's the deal? He looked pretty good, except for there were one or two spots. That we may talk about later.
We're going to talk about something here in a minute.
Okay. But yeah, so they lost, and I kind of went, oh. And then they kind of, you know, you watch the authors walk out, they get to the top, and DIY is still sitting there, and I'm thinking, is this a curtain call? Because they're drawing this out.
Yeah. Before we go on to that, let me just say this. I will say the good thing about having the Authors of Pain in the ladder match was when they did the spots where they were throwing them around and throwing them through ladders and onto ladders and everything like that, it looked really sick because it was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was good about having them in the match is you just have these two strong guys that are just going to beat the crap out of the little ones, and it was perfect there, but the speed for a ladder match was not there.
No. So, it was in slow-mo.
Mm-hmm. So, as he was mentioning, we're closing, we get the replays, they're walking up the ramp, the little graphic on the side says the show's over.
Yeah, we're sitting here and it's like, so somebody turning? No, because they're not, because we're getting the graphics, we're getting the credits and everything. It's like, so wait, is DIY going to the main roster? Is this like a curtain call for them? Because that's what it felt like, because when Authors of Pain retained the titles, it was really anticlimactic. It's like, that's really kind of a, you know, it's like, really? They moved this to the main event for them to retain? Like, what the hell? You know, and you're just sitting here, and it's like, well, maybe DIY is getting a send-off?
I was so happy because I was thinking, hey, maybe we'll see him on SmackDown, maybe Raw. You know, I can get, you know, some main roster points for these guys. I got really happy. And then what happened, Rock?
Well, he decides, Ciampa decides, I'm done with you, Gargano, and I'm going to throw you into the LED entrance.
Why are my boys fighting?
Yeah, it's like, just at the very last second, they're on the stage, and it's like, okay, you know, you're relaxing, and it's like they're signing off, and then all of a sudden, Tommaso just grabs Johnny by the back of the head and just chucks him right into the LED entrance, and you're like, Tommaso! No!
And the look on Johnny's face, the eyes, oh, God.
It's like, how could you hurt him? How could you do that to him?
The loud pitch noise Lindsay made when the turn happened, it was like, oh, wait, what? Because I was like 3 seconds behind her in the feed, and she makes this loud gasping noise.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh crap, it happened. The turn happened. And yep, turn happened. All right.
I mean, I have to give them props because, like, you're half expecting it, but you're not expecting it. And the way that they did it, it's like, okay, you know, you kind of, they lure you back into that sense of security where you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe they're not going to do it. This is them getting sent off. And then at the very last second, he's just like, bam, there it is. And you have Tommaso just deliver this brutal, brutal beat down to Johnny Gargano. And you're just sitting here yelling at the TV like, no, Tommaso, no, he's your friend. You two live together. No, stop it. Like, I mean, it's just all these, it's like, I said it at the top, or I said it in the tasteful side boob before this. How dare they make me feel?
Yeah.
Bastards!
And of all places, I mean, they built it up this way of, this is where they cut their teeth, this is where they grew up and made their name. And to have him do this in Chicago in front of those fans that were all rabid for DIY. Because again, they were not over at all with this crowd. Not in the least. The second that he threw him into the lights, you felt the air suck out of that arena, and you just saw everyone with the look of, what did you just do?
He then did a running knee to him, then he pulled down his knee pad, did another running knee, and then he wasn't done.
God damn it.
Gets up on top of the announce table, we think, oh god, he's going through the table. Oh no. He does the air raid crash, drives him backwards, off the table, through the platform, leaving Gargano down and out.
That's a bad Tommaso. Bad, bad Tommaso.
And we had a stretcher job as well.
But the most heartbreaking moment, I think, of the entire beatdown is, I think, at the very, very end, where it's like Tommaso's sitting there after he's thrown Johnny down the last time off the announce table, and he's holding Johnny in his lap, and Johnny's just laying there out of it, but completely stunned, and he looks up at Tommaso, and he just, like, caresses Tommaso's face, and it's just like, that just breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just right there, that moment, because you think of all the stuff that DIY has been through, the fact that they came in as singles, they became a tag team, they got super over, they won the titles, like, all this stuff that they've gone through together. You know, and again, they live together. That's legit. They live together. And they're very public about it. You know, it's like them and their wives and their families, they all live in the same house together. Because they're both training down there, so it makes sense that they're roommates. And you're just, you know, you sit there and you watch this go down, and it's like, oh my god, no, you can't do this. Because I think
breakfast awkward tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting there and you're like, Tommaso, you were in his wedding! I think he was the best man!
He was.
Yep.
It's like, you were the best man at his wedding! How could you do that to him?
The glorious bombs, you guys! Remember the good times!
I know! It's like, all this stuff, you know, it's like, DIY is so beloved. And it's just like, Tommaso just turns, and you're standing there, because, you know, it can't be Gargano. Can't be Gargano that turns. Because it would never work. It's like, Johnny, you're just too adorable. I'm sorry. You're just too adorable. It's like, you're... I call them wrestling puppies. Because they're just too cute. Tyler Bates, another one. Where he's just too adorable for words.
The thing with the beatdown that I really liked how they sold it was, so you had him throw him into the barrier. You had him nail that first running knee. And Tommaso's just kind of standing there, taking in all the stuff that he's just kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see Johnny start to get up. And the look on Tommaso's face had that kind of, stay down.
just stay down.
Right, just stay down. And when he sees it's not going to happen, that's when he pulls down the second knee pad and hits him with it again. And again, it's like with that, you can see in his mind, like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm done with him. And you see him move again. And that's when Tommaso kind of has this, like, God damn it. And then looks to the table. So it's this just complete escalation of, if you just stay down, I'm done with you. And as he keeps moving, it's like, okay, you're not learning yet. And he takes it up that next level of the ladder. No pun intended.
Yeah. One honorable mention going way back to the UK title match, because it's on right now. The things you forget about because it was so awesome. The airplane spin.
Oh, God. That was...
insane.
That was insane. He takes them all around. And yeah, you're just kind of like, wait. Is he going to be able to take him down with this? Because it looked legit.
Yeah.
Tyler got a little excited with that.
Now...
did not notice.
Now, back to the ladder match and everything that happened afterwards. Here we go.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
No. We've already done this.
You know, the one thing that is out of this whole thing is that is tough to look at. So, AOP, first of all, let's talk about that.
Let's see if we can skip a little bit into it. Here we go.
Unbelievable after what they had already been through in that ladder match. But I just walked past Tommaso Ciampa, who is furious about everything, but in the trainer's room with what looks like a significant injury as well, which I think might have fueled some of where this is coming from. The emotions of...
So as if you couldn't hear, because their Facebook Live video was really low, Tommaso Ciampa, significant injury.
# blame Brent.
So what you're telling me is that Tommaso Ciampa betrayed Johnny Gargano to set him free so that way he wouldn't be stuck on the shelf while Ciampa was out? Is that what you're telling me he did?
He could have, but maybe there could be a significant injury.
Well, there were a couple spots in that match where it's like Ciampa took some hard hits.
Early on, there was a really nasty folly talk.
Yeah, off that ladder, he landed, and the first thing he did was grab for that right knee.
So adrenaline may have carried him through the rest of the night.
He was trying to work the knee out during a couple of spots. I mean, he still moved fairly well, but yeah, that could not be good. And it just kind of keeps in line with my team.
You're just imploding left, right, and center, dude. But on
I have tag teams breaking up. I have guys getting injured from said tag. Well, what was a tag team?
But you could still get points for Gargano.
It may be good. It may be good that way. That way you don't lose points as you gain them.
Johnny Wrestling, you can go after the singles title now.
So, assistant to the regional assistant analyst. who picked
assistant
what?
Assistant to the secretary, to the admin assistant, to the...
whatever it is at this point.
So, I think we learned from this match, never trust a toy. We all went authors of pain. Well, this was also with conditions of
Thursday.
We thought going into the match on Thursday, and the eight ball picked before Thursday, and they went DIY, which for a moment actually looked plausible, but the eight ball picked wrong.
Overall scores?
So, overall scores. Bringing up the rear is the eight ball at 1-4. Next up, in no surprise, is the toy guy, the... NXT analyst correspondent guru, whatever we want to call him, Omega at 2-3. I'm at 3-2, and then you guys finished a little bit above. So there's your final picks.
No, what's the scores?
You both finished 4-1.
Ah!
As you do.
Like you do.
That's why I'm the junior analyst to the assistant to the NXT
the analyst.
Analyst.
Anyway.
With that, here's this. Heading into Backlash after NXT TakeOver, here are your scores of the week. Team Lindsay has 0. Team Intern has 9. Team Mike has 25. Team Omega has 4. My team has 13. And Team Tim has 20 points for the week.
Jesus.
I didn't lose.
You didn't gain anything either.
Hey, 0 is better than negative.
At least I got points.
I could lose a major amount of points tomorrow with if Lindsay gets her way.
Who has the champion?
I have Randall Orton.
So Tim could earn points.
Tomorrow you have Eric and Luke.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My children are fighting with each other. That's right.
Intern has could lose some points with Kevin Owens.
No, I think we're good.
That's no one has the Usos. I don't think.
I do.
You have the Usos? You do.
I have the Usos. They were my 10th round pick.
All right, there you go. You can have the Usos. They could lose some. You could lose some points.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about that match at all.
So yeah, that's that. Anything else we need to cover tonight, Lindsay?
I think that does it for us. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Rock, do you want to do plugs? Do you feel up to doing plugs? You're going to be doing plugs in like 2 hours. Do you want to do them again?
In 45 minutes, come check out CB Radio live right here at wildtalkradio.com. Check out Russell Talk Radio tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything goes down WWE Backlash. Check out the Raw Post at Monday at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's WTR Sims with Tim in control, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Thursday night, we'll be back for a live show. We'll cover Backlash, we'll cover SmackDown, we'll cover NXT, where Aleister Black will be in action against the star maker himself, Kurt Hawkins, and so much more. It's a Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitter, the YouTube, youtube.com/rackradioshow. Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. Again, check out all the fine programming we have. Make sure you're here back here in 45 minutes to an hour from CB Radio, midnight-ish. We're doing the Great of the Great Debate. It is the Nintendo video game, so check that all out. Intern, plug your Twitter and stuff.
If anyone is crazy enough to want to follow me, my Twitter handle is @KaneKittens. That's about all I've got.
The real NXT analyst is at TJ Omega on the YouTubes, the Twitters, the .orgs, and the TJ reviews on the Facebooks. Now Lindsay plugs.
You can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And, well, we do have sponsors. Gerwig.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, 5Poop.com. Check them all out because they're all awesome. And, well, we're out. We're done. So, for Kane Kittens, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra NXT TakeOver Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.